The thing that I wish to know, the thing that I demand to know, because there was a bit of a film on our show yesterday. It seemed a little despondent and a little depressed. The thing that I want to know, as I talk to Billy and Tony and Roy and Mike here, Stugatz will be here in a second, is who has the guts? I want to know if anyone has the guts, because I don't believe that you guys have the guts anymore. The media is acting as if it's mad at the Miami Heat. The media is predicting that the series is over, that it feels over, and they wanted a series. They want to see LeBron James challenge. They want to see moments. They do not want to see the Miami Heat roll over. They don't want to see a series that isn't competitive. They want the climax of the season to come with crescendo. Do you have the guts? I don't believe that you guys have the guts.
Dan, I am utterly gutless. No shot if Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic can't play. No shot. Probably given what we saw in game one, considering the run that they went on with those guys out there, I wouldn't really like our chances if healthy, but now no guts. I'm gutless.
Help me with this here. Have they declared Goran out? Because I actually was talking to Heat people late into the night yesterday, and what they told me was it took Udonis Haslem 5 days to come back from this back when he was 25. So once they said that, I'm thinking Goran's in his 30s. It's all pain threshold. He tore it completely. And
that's actually good.
He can't make it any worse playing. It's all about how much it hurts and what he can withstand. But even withstanding pain threshold, it took Udonis Haslem, the guy that Tyler Hero called the OG when he was on with us the other day. Everyone knows or assumes that his pain threshold is off the charts. And Haslem was 25, and it took him 5 days to come back. So I would assume that Goran, at the bare minimum, wouldn't be back till game four.
The latest on him is that he's fighting people in the organization to come out and play. He plays.
He was crushed.
Yeah. Oh, of course. He works his entire career for this moment in the professional ranks. It's a bummer. He plays a different game than Udonis Haslem, too. Probably needing that feed for his more agile game, such that it is as a veteran, than Udonis Haslem. But the fact that he tore it completely, because that's where the pain is. The extreme pain is when it hasn't torn completely and it's tugging and it's trying to get to the point of tearing completely. So it's a pain threshold thing.
We're assuming he can't play. You're not assuming you're going to see him tonight,
are
you?
The Miami Heat listed two people doubtful, and historically, they don't really list people as doubtful. I don't know if this is like trying to boost like the culture and the individual heroism and bravery of those players, but they never list people doubtful. It's either out or questionable. So it was a curious listing.
So Mike Ryan is gutless. That's it. It's done, according to Mike Ryan. Like, you can't come back from this. If you are saying after game one that you're gutless and you are Heat homer guy, you've noticed this in the coverage, correct? That the media seems angry at the Miami Heat?
Oh, we actually, George Sedano systematically tears that argument apart because it's lazy, and that's what was going on through the ESPN content machine. People just angry that, I think they're still angry that they didn't get Clippers-Lakers. But if you reseed, say we do this thing that Jay Williams has said, and you know, Jalen Rose was upset that this is happening. If you reseed, you get the same exact matchup. If the Miami Heat go through Boston in the first round, Milwaukee in the second round, and in the third round they play Toronto, a team that they actually matched up better than with the Boston Celtics, the Lakers have to go through pretty much the same exact path too. So you end up with the same exact final, so that argument does not hold any water.
Who are these people that are actually angry? Because I see people disappointed that, you know, the series is not going to be a good one if they lose two of their best players. But who's actually angry? Now, you guys keep saying people are angry that the Heat are in the finals. Who are these people?
Mike Greenberg, Jalen Rose, Jay Williams, people that the content creators
they're
at
angry?
This company. Well, no, I think they're creating content, but they're doing it lazily so much as to not, okay, let's argue for a reseed because that'll definitely be a different finals and one that's better than this one because this is a huge bummer. Everyone is very publicly disappointed with how game one went and has very little hope that this is going to be a more serious series, more tightly contested, but it's lazy because if you actually do the reseeding, you realize that you land on the same exact finals.
Reseeding or not, isn't the biggest issue is the injuries, right? Like if the Miami Heat came in fully stocked, everybody healthy, this is a series that has a legit chance to go seven.
That is the way that people were picking it. I was surprised by the number of people who were picking the Heat. Like, this was not any kind of foregone conclusion. People seem to actually put stock in the teams that Miami beat. You see them dismantle Milwaukee, the best team in the league, in five games and shoot in a way where now everyone is saying, why is Rondo making shots in the bubble? Because it's just easier for professional basketball players to shoot in that bubble because of sight lines and no fans and everything else. But Billy, do you have the guts, or do you only have the guts for the Marlins? Or do you not even have the guts for the Marlins because Yu Darvish is scary to you? You're scared of
afraid of Yu Darvish? Are you kidding? And those cheating ass Cubs and their fake weather machine? What are you talking about? What was that yesterday, by the way? A joke is what that was yesterday. Inclement weather. We have to cancel the game an hour before the game has even started. Did you see the pictures people were tweeting out and the videos people were sending from Wrigley Field yesterday? I think an hour and a half in to what would have been the game, it eventually started sprinkling. Something is up and I'm on it. I'm investigating what's going on here. And guess what, Cubs? I already have a plan that I'm going to send to Donnie Baseball, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it involves changing the starting pitcher because you guys clearly cheated so that you could study up on Sixto, and you're not going to get Sixto today if it was up to me.
Billy, I'm going to start a task force with you. I have a friend of mine who is actually somebody that works inside the Cubs organization. He's a big fan of the show.
He's not involved in this.
He may not be. He may be. We don't know. He may have left the water hose on at night, so the field gets flooded. We don't know. But he sent me a picture of when first pitch was about to take was what should have been pitched, and it was completely blue skies. Mm-hmm. There was no weather, no rain. I'm going to send everybody the picture so you guys
can put that
see
in a Ziploc bag. That is Exhibit A.
All right, so you're calling them did you call them the cheating ass Cubs? Is that what you called
them? I don't
them?
Remember what I said.
Okay. Well,
I've moved on. I don't live in the past, Dan. This is a quick moving investigation.
You're not really aspiring to objectivity there, like you said you were.
Exhibit A. We have it in a Ziploc bag.
But you understand calling them the cheating ass Cubs doesn't exactly make you a neutral anymore.
I don't need to be neutral.
Oh, okay.
I'm the prosecutor here, right? Is that the prosecutor's the one that goes after the the criminals?
Yes.
Yeah, you're the DA.
And what is the prosecutor specifically accusing the Cubs of? Because Tony just said there was no weather yesterday, and I don't think that that's possible, that there was no weather. I think weather was present. So what are you
We're investigating how much weather there was, Dan.
Okay, whether there was weather is what you're...
Whether there was weather.
Okay, and you're going to... what are you saying that you're going to send to Don Mattingly? You're going to...
Oh, he's already got in my game plan for today's game. Rest assured, it's in his hands. On his desk, in a manila folder.
And your plan is just to switch the starting pitcher? That's your plan?
Shh. Don't let him know what the plan is.
Oh, that's actually brilliant. Saving Sixto, the guy with the best stuff on the staff, for a possible game three, and if not, worst case scenario, he starts game one of the next series. Well, so this could be spun into a win because, I mean, 6-0 going up against Yu Darvish, who's been really good this season, most people would say they'd fancy Yu Darvish's chances in that matchup, so that's probably a smarter play, right?
You know who else they fancied? Kyle Hendricks, and what happened to him? Bombazos, that's what happened to him.
It was bombazos. I also liked, did you like, Billy, I can imagine you, okay? I don't know what you guys are planning here with this Twitch and
like much of anything. I'm not actually that confident, just if you're aware, right? And this is a good position for me because if the Marlins win today, this was good because Starling Marte got an extra day of rest, which he needs on his fractured pinky, right? But if they lose, nefarianisms was up.
Okay, nefarianisms were
nefarianisms, which I think is a Dr. Seuss word.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like a word that is English, but what I was asking you, because I think it would be fun to watch these games with you, and because you have a Twitch planned in the future broadcast so that people can watch the Marlins game with you, the thing that I wanted to ask you was about game one when they went to their sideline reporter during the broadcast, and he was talking in the seventh inning before Bombazos. He was talking about, well, with Hendricks, you know, you got to start thinking about the defensive replacement players because a 1-0 lead is pretty insurmountable with Hendricks. I was thinking of you and the idea that you were yelling at your television. Were you, or were you scared and agreeing with the sideline guy? A 1-0 lead is the time to put in defensive replacements right as Hendricks gives up a couple of bombs.
I was kind of laughing at the idea of putting in defensive replacements when the people they put on the screen were Cameron Maben and Billy Hamilton, because I said, whew, I hope they really think that one run is enough, because I don't think that's going to be a source of offense for them.
I got an update on the task force. So my buddy inside, our mole inside the Cubs, sent me a picture. There was weather, Dan. There was weather. There was a couple clouds. But he did say, I will say it did start hailing at about 5:30. Probably would have been bad for baseball.
5:30.
The game would have been official by then.
Yeah, no, that would have given 5:30 their time. That's 6:30 this time. The game started at 2. You have 4.5 hours. That game would have been exhibit B. Put it in a Ziploc. Do we have any of the hail?
We may not, but I'll try and find some.
That's the thing about ice, Dan. The perfect crime. You've heard about that, right?
What is the perfect ice with a perfect crime?
The perfect way to kill someone is with an icicle. Because the weapon melts.
Mm-hmm.
I've read. Or I've heard.
I had never heard that before. Where are you?
Exhibit C!
I don't think that's Exhibit C.
Impaling someone with an icicle?
The perfect way to kill someone.
Yeah, because think about it. Everyone looks for the murder weapon. Can't look for the murder weapon if it's melted.
Billy, when are you doing the Twitch?
The perfect crime. Hail to ruin a baseball game. Guys, good news. If game three happens, it's going to be the only baseball game on Saturday. You guys are rooting for game three. I know what's up, Exhibit D.
I think you're taking this whole like attorney thing a little too literally, because Dan has asked you like 4 direct questions about the Twitch. And
he's too busy.
Ongoing investigation. Sometimes when investigations are going on, you have outside distractions that are trying to keep you off point. And, you know, wait a minute. Where were you yesterday, Dan Le Batard?
Billy is deep in character, Mike. The thing that you're not understanding is he's Daniel Day-Lewis. He is deep in this attorney character who is prosecuting the Cubs for being cheating ass.
Who's on your suspect board? Because right now, Len Casper, just because of his association with the two franchises, needs to be up there with a red piece of yarn.
Well, right now, no one has been ruled innocent. There are lots of things going on, but nothing gets by Daniel Day-Game Lewis.
If you listen to the Big Suey today, there was some breaking news when we were actually taping. Bam Adebayo has real difficulty lifting his arm over where his shoulder is right now. It's not just the wrist. It's not just the shoulder. Now you add the neck strain into it. And I think Miami could potentially survive the loss of Goran Dragic for a couple of games, even potentially the entire series, if you are at your most hopeful. But Bam Adebayo, that's too much to overcome. Part of the strategy here is just bombs away from three. Goran Dragic is a big part of that. And Bam finding open shooters, working inside out, is a big part of that. I think it's too much to overcome if you lose both these players, Dan.
The reason that it's not for a game, for a series it is, but for a game it's not, is for the same reason that the Bucks were able to beat the Heat without Giannis when they were down 3-0. A game in basketball doesn't mean much. You get a bunch of Lakers shooting poorly, you can steal a game. But yes, that's just generally hopeless in terms of winning the series. And I just feel it in what it is that's happening around the sport, where the question being asked after game one, in a way that isn't just feeding the content machine, because I am good and tired of somebody going down 2-0 in a series and then somebody saying that the series is over. After one game, you don't often hear that. You don't often hear the question. Even if the Bucks had lost that way in game one of the final, nobody would be saying the Bucks are done. It would be ugly and unpleasant, but people would be like, that happens sometimes in a single game.
But I think with this particular series where you have the Lakers blow the Heat out, and the Heat have three injuries, one of them to their leading scorer, the other one to probably their best defensive player, I mean, that seems problematic for the Heat.
I can't think of a worse case scenario than the one that's hit them. Like, I can't think of how you can make that worse than their top three players, their two all-stars, and the guy who has been, you know, as good as anybody during the entire playoff run.
Leading scorer for first round, second round, third round, and the one guy that's out there rolled his ankle pretty bad and you're asking him to up his game to a certain level and really match LeBron James. And Jimmy Butler's not that kind of player. He's a guy that we're debating whether or not he's in the top 15. He's going to need to be a top five player on the planet. Maybe he can get you a game and buy you time to get some guys a little bit healthier. If you can make this a five-game series, that's the longest break, the break between game four and game five, and maybe some guys can get healthier. It's just really hard. Just being objective here.
What's the line?
It opened at 6, and then the news of doubtful came out, and I imagine...
I think it's 7.5 now, Mike.
There's a backdoor opportunity. This is going to be really hard, man. I'm basically rooting. I would love to take game two so I can work myself up into hopeful and read injury reports. I want to see the culture game. I want to see, you know, we could have ran. We could have punted on this series. We have the built-in excuse already. We'll get him next time. That's not really what Jimmy Butler's about. Jimmy Butler's out here saying we're going to win. Still, even understanding the injury. So I want to see that. I want to puff my chest out and be proud of my team one more time.
This was something that I wanted to discuss a couple of days ago, and I'm just curious what your guys' thoughts are on this. Because Jimmy Butler, I keep reading about Jimmy Butler's reputation as a bad teammate or a cancer or whatever, a difficult teammate. And I don't really get it, Stugatz. I don't understand. I know that he was pushing, Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins in a way that it seems like they probably needed to be pushed. They were young players coming into the league. Jimmy Butler's not going to have a whole lot of tolerance for a millennial mentality.
Right.
He wasn't the problem in Chicago. Nobody thought he was the problem in that locker room, even as that locker room ended up having problems. And I don't recall people saying he was a bad teammate in Philadelphia. Like, he just left Philadelphia. I recall people saying that he was a welcome addition in Philadelphia and that Embiid and Simmons needed him.
Agreed. I didn't hear, listen, his teams haven't performed that well, so maybe that's the problem. And you heard some stories about him and Wade really separating themselves from the team in Chicago. And I think that's where the bad teammate stuff really started.
But again, it's a bunch of millennials. Young players.
To your point, though, there was some soaking of division between the established players and the head coach. He did that in Philadelphia with Brett Brown. And we see there's still division between Embiid and Ben Simmons, and Embiid doesn't shy away from being very pro Jimmy Butler. It seems as though there was a division between line in the sand. You're either a Jimmy Butler guy and Embiid fell on that side, or you're this more, I hate using this word in this context, but more millennial sensibility Ben Simmons type.
Right. By the way, that line's 9.5 now. Lakers are -9.5 over the Heat. So
why doesn't Wade get bad teammate if it was him and Jimmy Butler conspiring against the rest of a very young loser?
Well, Wade did.
Bulls team. There's just multiple examples. It started in Chicago with Rondo, Wade, and Jimmy Butler saying, this is crap. This head coach, this is a mess, and you young guys aren't worth it. He was aligned with Thibodeau in Minnesota. The problem there was the players. He's exonerated not only by the fact that he's in the finals, but you have the benefit of hindsight with those franchises, those locker rooms, those players, and you know that, they're a problem regardless. Look what happens when Jimmy Butler leaves these franchises and they're left to their own devices.
Dan, do you think Jimmy Butler can give you one of those games?
No. Well,
you don't?
No.
Like, what? Like, because they need that tonight.
Well, he gave you one of those games against Milwaukee. He is capable of one of those.
With Bam Adebayo sort of being the trigger on everything they were doing offensively. No, I don't think you can get a 40-point Jimmy Butler game out of nowhere when he's going to be their only offensive weapon. Like, he's going to be their only offensive creator. It's not just that you're losing an all-star in Goran Dragic. You're getting the two guys through which the offense runs when they're out there. So now, what is going to happen? It's going to be LeBron guarding Jimmy Butler? Like, what?
Well, it's going to be Jimmy Butler guarding LeBron, too. So he spends a lot of energy on the defensive side.
Both teams are switching. It seems as though Miami has implemented this soft switch, which hopefully doesn't carry over to game two. But the person that really initiates the offense is Jimmy Butler. And it's a lot better of an offense when he's finding guys like Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic. Now he's finding guys like Kelly Olynyk and Kendrick Nunn.
I mean, Tyler Hero probably gets
thrust into going to be amplified, but I don't know if you guys saw game one. I don't know how great of a thing that is right now, because after the 37-point game, I don't know if he's feeling himself. He's decisive. I'll give him that. But he's making bad decisions out there, Tyler Hero.
Well, that's a super small sample, right? I mean, he had a rough time in the last game against the Celtics, and he had a rough time in the first half against the Lakers.
His decision making, though, I'm latching on to the decision making. The decision making with him, while decisive, he makes up his mind about where he's going to go, and sometimes that isn't the best.
I get it, but we're two games removed from him, 37 points and one turnover. The decision making was fine two games ago.
Understood.
I think that when you look at what happened in the first game, Duncan Robinson and these guys are all being introduced to the height of playoff basketball because you're going up against LeBron James, an all-time player, and Anthony Davis, pretty much a consensus top five player in the league.
Yep.
And you're going after that with Jimmy Butler. That's pretty clearly not enough if Bam's not going to play at all.
All I'm saying is he is the superstar. Granted, he's not LeBron James. He has a career high of 53 points. For one night, you need Jimmy Butler to play like a superstar.
But he's not that kind of superstar.
Like, I know, but can he be for a night, I guess, is what
I'm
asking.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What can he be for a night? Like, are you talking about take 30 shots and score 40 points?
I'm saying he needs to be north of 40 points.
You need
yes.
him to be the guy that after he got the knee injury in Minnesota still strolled into a practice and dominated Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins with a bunch of DMP coach decision guys while only scoring one bucket in the practice. I don't know if he can do that. Honestly, if you're rooting for something improbable, the far more likely thing is Anthony Davis getting injured than Jimmy Butler scoring 50, I would think, but who knows? Jimmy Butler is not buying into the fact that this series is done. That's just not how he's cut. We all know that. He sounds ridiculous now in interviews to The Nation. I wouldn't put it past him because he's like literally the only option if Bam and Goran Dragic can't go.
I think
him
I'd
and
have to put it past him, though, Mike, because that's not the kind of player that he is, especially on a team where he's going to be the primary option, where the Lakers, who have an exceptional defense, not decent, it's an exceptional defense, and they've got a legitimate rim protector. Explain to me how you guys have Jimmy Butler getting into that stratosphere when the shots are difficult to come by and they're going to be leaning toward him.
I personally don't. I don't
I'm
have
just Jimmy asking
Butler.
If he can.
Yeah,
that's all.
We're just asking the question. We're looking for – this is where we are in the series with the reality of the injury situation. You're just seeing, hope, and praying that Jimmy Butler can become a top five guy and not the top 15 guy.
It's odd that we're just asking a question as if you have the answer. I mean, it's
– Dan feels pretty confident he does have the answer.
Right, which is no. How about culture, next man up? How about that? How about Kendrick Nunn?
The next man up is Kelly Olynyk.
Well, why isn't it Kendrick Nunn? I mean, Nunyans. I mean
– the difference between Kendrick Nunn and Goran Dragic is not that much that you can't hope for Kendrick Nunn to give you the kind of game that you would want from a guy who was second in Rookie of the Year voting. But the reason that I question what you guys are doing with Jimmy Butler is because it's not even like you can bank on a consistent jumper. Like, maybe Jimmy Butler can play a super aggressive game and get you 12 free throws or something. Maybe Jimmy Butler decides to go neck first into the paint and try to create stuff for their three-point shooters, but I just don't know how you get the monster scoring game from a guy whose jumper you don't trust.
I mean, he can do it, though. Like, he scored 40 by shooting well from the field. He can do it occasionally, but your Nunn point is probably the best one. Now, in terms of production, Kendrick Nunn proved in the preseason this is a guy that's capable of going for 40, even, especially if he has more opportunities. I'm not counting on that, but the gulf in talent may not be that serious, but certainly the gulf in trust is massive when you talk about Goran Dragic and Kendrick Nunn. No Heat fan trusts Kendrick Nunn.
And especially because his shooting has been bad except for the last game throughout the postseason. But let me ask you guys this question at the risk of sounding totally absurd, because I like Jimmy Butler as a player. I do not mean to disparage him when I say I don't think of him as a superstar. I think of him as an excellent basketball player. But if you ask me who's more likely to get 30 points tonight because they get hot from the perimeter, I've got a couple guys on the team who aren't him that I would think of in terms of Tyler Hero. And yeah. None just in terms of shooting. They go, or Duncan Robinson goes 9 for 10 from three.
I'm not expecting 4 for 6. If Jimmy Butler does erupt and give you the 40-point game, it's because he's getting to the line 14 times. And conversely, he's getting people in foul trouble if he does that, and that affects the actual talent that's out there on the court for Los Angeles. So if he's going to the line 14 times, that's 2 fouls maybe on Anthony Davis, and maybe you can get lucky, but you're going to need to get lucky this game if those two guys are out for Miami.
I imagine the audience is listening to this and saying, these guys are not only hopeless, they all sound like dopes, like thinking that this is still any kind of series. Like they all sound like they're
it's not think, over.
I don't. Yeah, oh, you, okay. He does sound like the dope then, because I want to be abundantly over, clear. Yeah. I kind of fear it's over if those guys can't play.
Yeah, it's not over. By the way, Jimmy Butler, game one against Milwaukee, had a 40-point game. He had a 30-point game against the Bucks. I mean, he can do it.
Mike said that 3 times while we were doing this segment.
Should have been listening.
Two more exhibits, by the way. I just got
two more exhibits.
Anonymous Cubs source.
Insider, if you will.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
You guys sounded crazy last segment. And right. While you guys were doing that whole thing about Jimmy Butler and he's going to score 40 or whatever, evidence was coming in fast and furious. We've now moved up to exhibit E, F, and G, if you'd like updates on this case. Exhibit E, Dan, quote, seems like the scouting department was worried about Sixto's stuff. Exhibit E.
Wait
bag it and bag it.
Who's that?
Where's
from?
The exhibit?
What is that?
That's an anonymous source. We can't reveal the source because then they will not be anonymous anymore and we'll lose the source. Exhibit F. Quote, it's way colder today than yesterday. We postponed the game to make the Miami team play in 40 degrees weather. I mean, that sounds like an admission of guilt. Now,
tag it and bag it.
Exhibit G, if you'll see right here.
Wow, he's this holding up
in a plastic bag.
That's a cell phone.
And
with
he's got a latex glove on.
Yes, because we can't contaminate the evidence, of course.
Right.
That's a weather map of some sort? What is that?
This is a tweet that Father Manny sent me yesterday, and it's a weather map, as you can see clearly, over Chicago. It's in a bag. It's my cell phone because I don't have a printer here, but I wanted to make sure that this was still clean.
You don't want any fingerprints on that phone, exactly. On your evidence.
Right. Right. Exactly. So now my phone is in a bag, so hopefully I won't need it later today, but it's going to be part of this investigation. And it says, quote, I mean, those two clouds over Lake Michigan stuck up on water and canned goods. That was from Father Manny, along with the weather map. So,
man of God. A man of God is calling them the cheating-ass Cubs. Is that what he's suggesting, that they're sinners?
I'm not here to say that God is on one side or the other, but we'll leave that up to the people to decide.
Well, explain to me where it is we are. If you're just joining us, Billy has decided to prosecute the cheating-ass Cubs. He has become
I'm looking for the truth, Dan.
Yes, that's. I'm sorry I didn't say it that way. He has become Daniel Day-Game Lewis. There has been a task force, he alleges, has been assembled. He's got a source in the Cubs organization that we are simply referring to as Tony's boy. What is happening? What is the update on the investigation? What can you give us in the way of information?
The task force has not only been assembled, it has been mobilized.
How so?
Well, we're mobile now. We're moving. Things are in motion. Right.
You have boots
mobilized
on the ground. You have boots on the ground. Exactly. In Chicago.
We have boots on the ground. We have boots in the air. We have boots on the Twitter. We have boots in the sky, checking the clouds. No stone will be left unturned to find out what exactly went on yesterday.
What is happening with you and Father Manny? Explain to me this relationship.
What do you mean?
I just don't understand
your
the relationship. Like, why is he sending you a weather map?
Because sometimes when people see nefariousisms, as we said earlier, they like to, you know, it's almost like we have a tip line, right? On Twitter, there's a tip line, and when people get tips, they send them in. Someone else sent in a video of a guy screaming into a traffic cone yesterday outside of Wrigley Field.
Nice.
And he was just making unofficial announcements about the weather. And the man who was screaming into the traffic cone and was sent to us, I believe, his His Twitter handle is @super_Dave. Now, it's not the Super Dave because he unfortunately passed away. But this @super_Dave was screaming into a weather cone outside of Wrigley Field where it was very sunny. And he announced, "It's too sunny to play today." There he is. Same bag. Exhibit H. There's a video.
Billy, help me out here. I've got multiple follow-up questions here. And one of them is simply, why couldn't you get out without laughing that you had been sent a video of a fan screaming into a traffic cone?
It was just something in my throat, you know? Seasonal allergies, Dan. Happens to the best of us. Pollen is in the air.
Yeah.
Any other people send you stuff that would make it seem like the cheating ass Cubs were cheap?
Do we have a tip line that you would like to direct people to?
Well, you could just tag any of us on Twitter if you'd like to do it that way. Or you could do it, well, it's not anonymous if you send an email because then we'll have your email address. But you know what? Email it to unusedgiveaways@gmail.com and let's see if I remember the password for that. And then maybe we can access the evidence that way.
Okay. You want to create a tip line or what do you think?
Unused giveaways.
Gmail, it's a whole thing. You have to enter a cell phone number. And I've created way too many Gmail accounts, if I'm going to be honest with you, for various reasons, you know, to secure sportsbang.com, stuff like that. There's too many Gmails out there that have my phone number attached to it at this point.
Our mole inside the Cubs is doing work and trying to get us at least the biggest things that are happening from the last 48 hours before the first pitch today, by the way.
So your mole inside the Cubs, is he a double agent? Is he someone who's like secretly rooting for the Marlins?
Don't confirm he or she, Tony. Don't confirm he or she.
They are inside the Cubs organization, and they are also not willing to come out and say that they're a double agent or not. They do work for the Chicago Cubs, so the Cubs do sign their paychecks, but a Miami person through and through.
Okay, a Miami person through and through who likes our show, who takes money from the Cubs but gives information to the task force and the prosecutor.
My kind of person.
Anthony Rizzo is from Parkland.
Wow.
But is he Tony's boy? That's the question.
Have played basketball together, Dan. Remember, he played some basketball that with former athletes.
And while, Billy, I do appreciate your shroud of secrecy and the fact that you want
integrity.
To protect your sources as anonymous, I do believe it's fair to call this person a he when we've been referring to this person as Tony's boy. I think at that point we don't have to go with she unless you're trying to just get people off your scent.
I mean, we don't need to get into the whole gender thing, Dan, but it's 2020. I'm not sure if we're going to do he, she, or any of that today.
Right. Just a Tony's boy. I mean, that's
Roy, how have you been experiencing this local hour? You have sat by and you have observed and you have listened and you have laughed and you have smiled and you have shaken your head sadly. Do you have the guts, Roy? Because I don't feel like you have the guts.
Well, I'm still holding tight to my Heat in 7 prediction. But if we lose this game tonight, it's over.
Okay, very good.
All right.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The gut.
Guts for now.
Yeah. Normally when a team loses game one and you have your team in a certain number of games, well, this is what Heat in 6 looks like. This is what Heat in 7 looks like. I don't think any of us had Heat in 7 looking like they'd lose 2 of their best 3 players and their best player turning an ankle.
Can't believe it. It feels like you guys are bailing on the Heat.
It does sound like that. Crazy, it really does.
I'm so happy with this season. This is great. This has been an unbelievable
season. You're here now. Go get a title, man. Don't be happy with
healthy.
Just making it
I'm
to the
not,
finals.
I'm literally limping through the finals right now, and I'm just looking for a moral victory.
But this is how Stugatz does it. You know, he's just so used to that success that comes with being a Jets fan that he can just tell people, just go do it, even if all of your players are dead. I want you to beat the Lakers with just Solomon Hill out there. Just do it, Solomon. Be a superstar.
I mean, Heat culture, next man up. You're in the NBA Finals. Have faith in Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley and the team and Jimmy Butler to figure it out. You're 4 wins away from a title.
I think Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra may literally have to play tonight.
Guys, I don't mean to interrupt, but Ryan Flaherty just tweeted at me, and he said, quote, it's in evidence, Exhibit H, I'm not one for conspiracies, but it really makes no sense, especially since there are no fans to account for. Only thing I can think of is the Cubs / MLB not wanting to burn Darvish if there were an in-game delay. Hope the Marlins destroy them now. Exhibit H.
Another exhibit, Exhibit I. Chicago loosened restrictions on bar capacity October 1st. My mole is saying we postponed the game hoping they would give us a night game tonight and they could pack the rooftops with rowdy fans led by Sarah Spain.
Ooh, wow. Look at that. Now, wow. For those of you who cannot see us, which is all of you, because we're not televised right now. Billy,
or hear us because this isn't live. So
Billy,
you'll get this in an hour or so.
Billy is holding a blue glove.
Good news, I screen capped him holding up the evidence with his latex glove. So that image will be out there.
All right.
And the plastic bag?
Yes, good. This is what I want to explain to the audience. There's a plastic bag and it appears that the telephone is ziplocked in it pretty uselessly because all he's doing is showing us what's on the telephone. But he's got the latex glove on so he doesn't get any fingerprints on anything. And he continues to hold up the phone. And when this task force that has been mobilized ends up giving you the information or the findings of its investigation, then what, Billy?
Then the next proper steps will be taken.
Do we know what those steps are yet?
I mean. They're just the next proper steps.
One thing at a time, guys. You can't rush this investigation.
Okay. Right. Have you ever watched a press conference with a police chief? You don't show all your cards.
Mm-hmm.
Have you decided what you're going to do after you've used all the exhibits in the alphabet? What do you do after exhibit Z, since you're on exhibit I and the task force is still collecting data?
Double A?
Greek alphabet.
Ooh.
Exhibit Alpha.
Exhibit Beta.
What's after Beta, though? You know?
Gamma? Zeta? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll go
through
all
the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Do you know what's after Beta?